I'll try and keep this fairly brief. I've got two parts to this, so you'll have to wait for next week for the second part. What's the connection between our faith and works, the things that we do, right? And I want to have a quick look at Romans chapter 6 that spells out where it fits together, okay? So that's where we're going to next. Please. Right. Paul, in this is Romans 6, the stuff at the top, the verses from the Bible, yeah? What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? Some people were saying, well, if God forgives us, what we've got, we like, can't we? That's the silly, twisted logic that they were using. So the idea being is if we're under God's grace, then we can carry on sinning. It doesn't matter how you live once you've accepted Jesus, and you don't have to live by any rules. I'm free. Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad you know that. Yes, good. Right, next then, please. Yeah? He says, shall we go on sinning? By no means. You know what by no means means?
Not
at all. Good, right. Next then, please. Yeah? And he says this, he uses some reasons as to why we should carry on in a certain way, yeah? We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. Now that's sort of legal language he's using there, but the idea is that when you put your faith in Jesus, you're actually joined to Jesus in his death. When Jesus died, you died too, because he's joined to you. You're connected to him. So there, baptism is a picture of a funeral, isn't it? Buried in baptism, and Jesus was buried in the tomb, the sealed tomb. So that's the first part. So when we become believers, we're joined to Jesus. That's going to make a difference, I assume, is it? Should do. Next then, please. Right. The other side of it is, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So the believer is united with the Messiah in his resurrection. When we come out of the water of baptism, it symbolizes our joining to Jesus' resurrection life. So we're no longer the old person, we're a new person with resurrection life in us. Resurrection life, the life of Jesus, ought to be different, would you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, good. Now, next then, please. If you've been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. So we're joined to Jesus. Paul is stating this in so many ways so that you can get it, right? It's really, really important. When you become a Christian, you're joined to Jesus. You're joined to his death, and you're joined to his life, as he lives it now, right? So we're joined in his death and his resurrection. Next one, please. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. So he's saying, is your old sinful life has been put to death. It's died, right? It's you, as the old you, is dead now. You got that? Right, okay, so you died to sin. It's no longer your boss. You're no longer slaves to sin. Right, next one, please. Right. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So Jesus rose from the dead, yeah, and in rising from the dead, now that we're joined to Jesus, whatever was in the old life can't be in control of us anymore. Sin no longer has power over us. Death no longer has mastery over him. Jesus isn't going to die again. You knew that though, didn't you? Yeah? Jesus rose from the dead. He's a resurrected Lord now. He's not going to die again. Death can't have any hold of him. So I'm going to follow the one that beat death. If you want to follow a leader, choose somebody who's beaten death. I think you'll find he's the right one. Jesus, of course. Yeah? And says he's got no longer any power over him. And so the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives now, he lives for God. And we, having his life, can live for God too. That's the important thing. So, therefore, if anyone, or Jesus defeated death, that's true. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. You're a brand new person. Well, more or less, we'll see. Next then, please. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now, you have to start thinking in a new way. when we come to become believers in Jesus, we start seeing things differently. Is that true?
Yeah.
I found that, yes. Mm-hmm. Things I liked once, not bothered about now. Things I thought were a waste of time, now. Fantastic, yeah? So we start seeing things differently. And this is what he's saying is, count yourselves, or reckon as if it was really true. Count on it as if it's really true that your old life's dead and your new life is going on with Jesus. You have to reckon on that, you have to count that. It is true. But, there's been a big but about it, Paul deals with this in chapter 7 of Romans. The big but is, the old life has still got some kick in it, if you let it. If you let it. But you don't have to, because it's not your boss anymore. So, as a Christian, you are what we call a split personality, really, aren't you? You've got the old ways, the old life, that's got to die. It's effectively dead, but you've got to keep kicking it, that's it, yeah? Right? And the new life, you've got to let it flow. The life of Jesus, yes. So, and one more thing, I just want to add in that, it's just a little bit. We're dead to sin, now we're alive to God. And the thing I want to remind you about is, sin is doing the things wrong, thinking things wrong, behaving in the wrong way, yeah, against what God says, yeah? But to be tempted is not to sin. I hope you realise that. It's really important. You can be conned into thinking, because you're tempted, you're sinning. But you're not sinning. Jesus was tempted more than you ought to be. But he never sinned. It's giving in that's the sin. It's not being pressurised by the world or things that are around us. Yeah? Temptations are around all the time. But it's not sin. But if you let it take over, it will become sin. Right, next slide, please. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. There you are. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. The wrong ways, the wrong attitudes, the wrong stuff will try to control you. Yeah? But he says, do not let. How do you stop it controlling you? Well, that little bit on the side is really important. You can't do it on your own. That's really important to grasp that. If you try to live the Christian life without Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you'll never do it. It's impossible. It's a completely different type of life. And so, what we're told here is, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. It's no good saying, I can't. It's too powerful. You can, because Jesus is more powerful. If you're depending on Jesus. So, what is in control of your life? Is it sin? Or is it Jesus? I'm hoping it's going to be more of Jesus and less of sin. Next one, please. So what is sin? There's a good question. I've got that as the usual answer. Sin, I don't sin. Is that right? Sin, I never, never, ever did. Oh, yes. What is sin, really? It's doing things that God doesn't like. I suppose so, yes. It's breaking God's laws, breaking God's rules. Yeah? That's sin. That's what it basically comes down to, that. If God says it's wrong, and you do it, you've sinned. Simple. Right. Next one, please. So, he says, having been joined to Jesus, and now we've got a new life, he says, do not offer the parts of your body as instruments of wickedness. Now that word instruments can be considered as weapons as well, yeah? But rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. He's saying this. The old person that you were, you used your hands for thumping people, for doing the wrong stuff, for cheating. Right? Now, instead of using your hands as weapons for wrong, start using them for good. Help somebody. Right? And I've given you different things here. So here's your body is the means to express your inner life. Your body expresses your life, doesn't it? That's how you live it out. So we've got the input. What's the input? Stuff that goes in. In the old life, the stuff you put in was poisonous quite often. The pornography stuff, yeah? That sort of stuff. All the stuff that's wrong, yeah? So you're going to change the input.
Yeah.
And I've got news for you. When you change the input, it will affect the output.
Yeah.
Right. So the output, what comes out from your mouth now? Speaking the truth. Encouraging people instead of putting people down all the time or seeing their faults.
Yeah.
The actions in your hands, the deeds, the help, the available skills that you have, you can use that. And your feet, the places we go, what we do, the kind of things we're doing. Yeah? You could go to India with your feet, can't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, so that's what we're using our bodies as an expression of this new life that Jesus has put into us. Praise the Lord. Next one, please. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you're not under law, but under grace. That's the big principle. You're not under the control of the law anymore, you're under grace. But it's more, well, I'll put it there, it's most misunderstood phrase there is. People will use this. And Paul found that. They said, I'm not under law, I'm under grace, so I'll do what I like. No, that's not what he meant by that. What it means is, when you're not under law, it means, if you read the Old Testament, you read the commandments, yeah, he says, you get blessed if you do it, but what if you don't do it? You get punished. Yeah? Well, what means is that you're no longer under the threat of the punishments, you're now under grace, so you can start living God's way without fear of being punished all the time, yeah? Because you don't match up to quite how you should be. Yeah. So, under grace, we've got God's enabling. We can now start living the way God wants us to live. Next one, please. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? You got it? By no means, says it again. Yeah. So because we're free under God, we're now able to live in a new way. Are you experiencing that? That's a challenge for us, isn't it? It's all great good theory stuff, you know. But are you experiencing that God's making a difference in your life? You're beginning to have some victories where you were a constant failure before. It's not, you're not perfect yet. We know that, don't we, yeah? But God's at work, and His Holy Spirit's enabling you to become more like Jesus as time goes on. That's great. It's wonderful. And it's what God's doing. Yeah, so we don't sin because we're under law. We don't sin at all. Next, please, yeah. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one who you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death. Well, he's saying is, if you're a slave, who's your boss? The master, the one who cracks the whip over you. He says, if you're a slave to sin, yeah, what happens is, and this is the way maybe you thought once, you know, I don't want God telling me what to do. I'm free. That's not what humans want. I want to be free. Yeah? You want to be free. Free to what? Free to kill yourself. Yeah? Stuff yourself till you're silly. Right? Get involved in stuff that's going to destroy you. Drink yourself to death. That's freedom, they call it. I don't think that's freedom. He calls it freedom to sin, which leads to death. That's what I've done. I've given him freedom. He's free to fly, this guy. But if you're doing it sin's way, you know where you're going to land up. Right. Next one, please, yeah? Or whether you're slaves, if you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or a slave to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Slaves to obedience. That sounds strange, doesn't it? Slaves to obedience. Now, God's called you into His family, and He wants you to do what He wants you to do. Right? Are you going to obey Him? I've got news for you. Yeah? Whose slaves are you? Let's have a go at the next picture. I think it's the next picture. We'll leave it at that for the moment, yeah? Essentially, God wants you to live His way, obeying Him, doing what He says. Yeah? You're not free, in one sense, and yet the freest person of all, when you become an obedient one of God's. Because do you know why you're free when you obey God? Because you were designed that way. You were meant to go that way. You were meant to live God's way. And when you do that, that's the freedom you have. Let me just give you a rather, well, mechanical illustration. If you go up to March Station, what passes through the station? Goods trains and passenger trains, yeah? Okay? Now, the train, that's you. Yeah? And you say, I want to be free as a train. So what you do, you get off the lines, and you start rumbling down the road, and what's going to happen to you? You'll smash up, guaranteed. You've got nothing to guide you. You know, you go any old way, won't you? Right? But if the train is free to run on the lines, it can move and work and function as it's meant to. That's you. If you try to run off the lines, you'll crash. If you run on God's lines, you function as you're meant to do. Because you're created for that. Yeah? And he said, but thanks be to God, you used to be slaves to sin. But you've come to obey from the heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You've been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Yeah? So, when you're sin slave, you disobey God, and it leads to death ultimately. Yeah? But he says, if you become God's slave, you become obedient. Now, why have I put a jelly there? Not that you like jellies. It's a mould. You form a jelly by pouring it into a mould, don't you, in its sense, yeah? And that's the phrase he's used. It says, you obey from the heart the pattern of teaching. That pattern of teaching. Basically saying is, from your heart, you've been God's working you to pour you into a mould to shape you the way he wants you to be. What's the mould? It's Jesus. He wants to make you Jesus shaped. Yes? So he's saying, from your heart you become to obey, to become like Jesus. And it leads to life, of course. Yeah. Next one, please. So, I put this in human terms. He's trying to spell it out to us, yeah? Because you're weak in your natural selves. We're not as clever as we think, you know. That's what he's getting at, that, yeah? Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. Yeah. Live, use your bodies for God in a right way. Your minds, your hearts, your hands, your feet, using them as Jesus wants us to be. And that leads to holiness. That means you're improving as opposed to going in the other direction, which leads to ever-increasing wickedness. Yeah. Next slide, please. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. And I put that picture in there. In our old life, before I became a Christian, you know, I wasn't quite as... Well, I'll give you the illustration. I've told you this so many times, you'd be able to tell me it. Yeah. I was 12 years old. 12 years old. I wasn't a Christian. And I went along to this little chapel. And this chap, with his trying to round up these youth, you know, saying to us, talking to us, and he said to me, he says, you've got to give your life to Jesus. Yeah. And I didn't answer him back. I was too polite, you know. I was a good boy, really. Yeah, but I thought it. What did I think? My life, I'll do what I like with it. Yeah. You've got to give your life to Jesus. This is how the non-Christian thinks. Is that God wants to put his thumb on me. He wants to mess me up. He wants to spoil my freedom. I'm so glad God didn't listen to me then. Yeah, but, yeah, that's how we think. You were free from the control of righteousness. Yeah, we were. And it didn't do me any good. Right, next one, please. Yeah. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you now are ashamed of? Those things result in death. So he's wanting us to look back. For some of us who became Christians later in life, I was about 20 odd or something like that, I had a few years of being stupid. Never mind about that, yeah? Right? Not good stupid, bad stupid, yeah? Right? Nearly got myself killed a few times in the process as well, yeah? But I look back, and he's saying it now, you look back to see your old life, are you proud of that? Are you pleased with what you did? And he says, no. Now, I see things differently now, you see. And that's what he's calling to us. He said, the things that you're now ashamed of, those things result in death. That's hell. That's not just death, death. That's death, hell, he's talking about. That's what it leads to. So, the stuff that I was ashamed of, that would have led me to hell. Right? But now I've been joined to Jesus through trusting in what he's done for me. He's died on that cross. He rose again so that my life can be joined to his life and his life in me. I'm forgiven. Wow. All that old stuff, I can remember it. So there's a challenge to you, brothers and sisters. Come to Jesus when you're young, because you've got the rest of your life to serve him. You can come to Jesus when you're old. That's alright. No problem there, yeah? But you'll look back on that and I think, what a waste of stuff I've done. Just to think what I could have done for the Lord. And now, you know. So, there's an advantage of turning to Jesus when we're younger. But he welcomes you at all ages. That's good to know, isn't it, yeah? Right, next one, please. But now you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. The benefit you reach leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. But now, oh, yeah. You become slaves to God. Right. The important thing about this is, we're all slaves. We're either slaves to sin, or slaves to self, or we're slaves of God. It depends on which boss you want. I prefer the best one. Yeah, and I've got news for you. The master is a good boss.
Yeah,
yeah, he's good. Right. So, and he says, but now you become slaves to him. It reap holiness. You become start thinking his way. Right. Really free at last. Yeah, free from anxiety and fear. You know, I know when I stand before my Maker, that I'm forgiven. I can talk to God, and He's not waiting to pounce on me for something I've done wrong. You know, all's changed. It's all right now, thanks to God. Yeah, next one, please. Yeah. Right. Oh, too fast. Mm-hmm. Back one. Yes. Last verse in Romans. You must have heard this one before. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know that verse, don't you? You've heard it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yeah. Now then, there's two things that are really important about this. The wages of sin. Do you know what wages are? It's what you've earned. It's your right. Yes, I've earned it. So that's why I put the money back there. Wages are what you've earned. And what do you earn from sin? Death. Separation from God. Forever. Yeah. Or, you'd expect it to say the other way. The wages of sin is death, and the wages of trusting God are forgiveness. It's not wages. What is it? It's a free gift. Because God doesn't want you to earn His love. You can't earn it. It's too big. But He can give it to you. And that's what it says. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Jesus we have eternal life. When do you have eternal life? When does it start? Start now. Start with Jesus. And you can say, I can look forward to the future. Death doesn't panic me anymore. I know death's just a gateway to being with Jesus. Eh? So we have these two options. I put Joshua at the bottom. Joshua, a long time before these were written by Paul, 1,000 years and more, Joshua got the tribes of Israel together and he says, okay now then, choose who you're going to serve. Them gods up there, those gods over there, whatever god you want. Yeah? Choose this day whom you will serve. And then he says, what did he say then? And as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. That's the choice. You put the choice to them, I put the choice to you. Who are you going to serve? Sin or the Lord? That's the little one, I think it is. Yeah, next one.
Like
yeah. So how does faith work? It starts by trusting in God. We believe in who Jesus is and what He's done. And that's the command. Yeah? It's a command, you know. It's not just an invitation. It's a command. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. That's God's word. He's made a promise. And He means it. And I trust, have you done that? Yeah? Oh, well, that's, you know in your own hearts whether you've done that, you know? The time where we find ourselves, Lord, forgive me for my sin, have mercy on me, and make me one of yours. Yeah? I thank you for what Jesus did for me. I thank you that He died and He rose again. Not for everybody else, but for me as well. Thank you, Lord, you did that for me, and I'm trusting you to save me from my sins and to give me a new life. And that's what he says, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Amen. I've got those two other pictures, and I'll finish with this. What's the middle picture?
The graft.
It's a graft. A graft. This little plant is planted into the big plant, and it draws its life and its energy and its new life, in a sense, from the original plant. When you come to Jesus, you're grafted into Him and into His family. Right? And it's a graft that's permanent. You don't pull it out again. It's, you're fixed into Jesus. So, you're grafted into Jesus. That's what Paul's trying to tell us. Yeah. You belong to Jesus. Is that good?
Yeah.
I hope so, yes. Yeah. Belong to Jesus. We're grafted in. And then, the second picture that I put there is the plug on the wall.
Power.
Yes. When you join to Jesus, faith, all faith is simply just is pushing the plug in. That's all it is. It's not you. It's not your power. The power comes from somewhere else. You connect to Him and woof, you're off. Well, woof maybe not quite the right word, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Hopefully somebody's working. You got the idea. There's an electrician for you, eh? Yeah. Okay, you got the idea. What's the power called? The Holy Spirit. God Himself, the Holy Spirit, comes to dwell inside us. Now that's something Christians aren't always really quite aware of, I suspect. We try to do it on our own, and then when we don't manage, we say, oh Lord, help me, and then the Holy Spirit will help us. Why don't we ask, oh Lord, help me first? Save ourselves a lot of hassle, wouldn't we? I found that I'm learning over the years to ask God first before I try something. It works better that way. But you got the idea. How does faith work? It joins us to Jesus, the power supplier. It joins us to Jesus, the source of love and forgiveness. That's what faith's all about. Nothing more complicated than that. Trust him. I'll close with a little illustration. There was a man, he was in the tribal village, I think it was in the Philippines, but he was out there somewhere, and he was trying to translate the Bible into their local language so that they could understand God's word for themselves. Yeah? And he's trying to translate this, you know the verse, God so loved the world, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish but have eternal life. And he's trying to get that word for whoever believes in him. And he was struggling because he couldn't quite get the language, you know. And he's trying to get the word for believes in. Whoever believes in him should not perish. And so he's pondering about this. And while he's working at his little desk, the tribal elder came in. And he's interested in what is going on. And what he does is, there's a chair standing by him. And the tribal elder leaned on the chair. Yeah? Put all his weight on the chair. And of course, if you pull the chair away, he'd be on the floor, wouldn't he? Yeah? But he's leaning on the chair, and the Lord gave the guy a moment's inspiration. The chap who was doing the translation, he said, hey, can you tell me, what are you doing? what do you mean? He said, well, what are you doing? What's the word for what you're doing on the chair? And he gave him the word, to lean on. You know, I mean, whatever language it was in, yeah? To lean on. Yeah? That's the word I want. Yeah? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever leans on him, meaning in other words, you put all your weight on him, if he goes, you're down. But he's not going to go, I can assure you that, yeah? Put all your weight, you trust in him, you'll have eternal life, forgiveness. Not bad, eh? It's a deal. So, are you going to follow what Joshua has like? As for me and my household, we serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It's amazing truths. Some of it's not always easy to get hold of, Lord, but when we begin to understand something of how precious it is that we are to you, each one of us, special, joined to Jesus, Lord, to be part of this amazing family, the people of God. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much that you're willing to die for us. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much that you're willing to work in our lives to change and transform us. Help us, Lord, we pray, to go on with you, trusting you, Lord, and living for you day by day. Grant us your blessing, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have part two next week. And that part two is, what does God want you to do? What does he want you to do?